Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham and Crystal Graham, and we'll be bringing you news updates on this live podcast, also our archive version, on coronavirus-related topics specific to Virginia. But we do certainly welcome in our listeners from across the country and from across the world. We've had listeners to our show here from all over the last few days, and so thanks for joining us here. And we're going to talk on a number of topics as we have just quite a bit of news to get into today from Virginia specifically, also our local area, and just a lot to get into on coronavirus topics. And waiting for Crystal Graham to get in here with us here. We have just to kind of go down a list of stories we have to get into today. We will talk about the latest news from Augusta Health in terms of screening. Here's Crystal Graham joining us right here. And Crystal Graham, welcome to our live show.
Absolutely. So another day and a lot more news pouring into Augusta Free Press.
Yes, yes. It's everything we can do to just keep on top of things here at AFP, but we're honored to be able to do so. Glad to be in a place to be able to be sort of a nerve center on this news today. So, Crystal, maybe we could start with the Augusta. I was just getting ready to talk about Augusta Health sent out. It was a nice primer, I guess we could call it, sort of a question and answer with people's kind of the questions I guess they've been getting there at Augusta Health on screening and testing for COVID-19. And I thought it was really nice that you know they're doing their part to educate the community because there is so much news out there and some of it's good and some of it's not. So really good for Augusta Health to kind of try to cut through that.
Right, as digital editor for Augusta Free Press, I've noticed that on particularly on social media on Facebook, there've been a ton of questions from the community, and I'm sure that places like Augusta Health are being bombarded with phone calls right now because people want to know, are the tests available and where are they available? And so I think Augusta Health is trying to get the word out that they do have tests available, but just because you come in with symptoms doesn't necessarily mean that you will be tested. And I think that's kind of the overriding theme, is that there are a series of questions that will kind of pre-screen you for the test. And I think the most important one is going to be whether or not you've traveled anywhere recently. And then secondly, whether or not you've been around someone who's already been confirmed to have the coronavirus. And of course, there are probably exceptions that are made to that as well based on symptoms and things of that nature. But those two questions are key right now to whether or not they're providing a test to you, at least at Augusta Health. And from what I've seen, those same questions are being asked across the board, no matter where you go.
Yeah, we're not in a place in the United States or really anywhere in the world where there are just as many tests as there are people. We don't have 6 billion tests out there available to test people. And of course, even then, if you tested somebody now, you may have to test them again in a week or 2 weeks. So there's not that availability of widespread testing. I know you're, and rightly so, there's criticism of the late response from, you know, federal officials, certainly. But that is what it is. I mean, we can't go back in time and fix what we didn't do a few weeks ago that maybe would have made tests more readily available. Now they're not there. And so we have to be, the health officials across the country, have to be a little more judicious with this. And so, yeah, they'll screen you ahead of time. One thing that Augusta Health sent out in its guidelines for under the question, can I be tested? There are two main reasons someone would be tested. You mentioned, Crystal, the screening that goes through the process. But two main reasons, having symptoms or exposure to an infected person. So I'm sure, I mean, Crystal, we can speak from experience, and I think this would humanize it for everybody because we're all going through this. It's not just you listening that's going through this right now. You know, Crystal and I, you might even notice my voice is a little raspy. Crystal yesterday on the podcast coughed a couple times and I kind of chided her, hey, you're coughing. It's also allergy season. And so that said, last night I started thinking, man, you know, I wonder if I'm coughing, I wonder if I've got a sore throat and Crystal's coughing and, you know, how are we doing? And so I only took my temperature about 10 times last night. I made Chris's temperature a couple times last night. We're, in fact, our temperature's under 98.6, which is, you know, the average. My temperature is ranging around 96 or 97.
I was joking that we needed to get another thermometer as a backup test kind of thing. But unfortunately, thermometers are very hard to come by right now. So we're just going to stick with the digital one that we have and trust those results. You know, Chris, the other thing I was going to mention too, and again, if you go to AugustaFreePress.com, the top story right now is the story that we're talking about. And that's related specifically to Augusta Health. But again, these kinds of things are kind of across the board from what I'm seeing, whether you go to Sentara or whether you go to your local doctor's office. The one thing that they're saying too is that people at a higher risk, and that's somebody maybe over age 60 or if you have a medical condition, you might be considered for testing even if you don't meet all the criteria. And I think their main advice is that if you have a fever or you have some of these conditions, you know, that of what they're talking about with coronavirus, you know, the fever and things of that nature, they're just saying just stay home. You know, I was joking on Facebook, and again, it's kind of making light of a big situation. But, you know, as you said, we have allergies right now. And I was sharing that with some friends on my personal Facebook feed. And they said the same thing. You know, three or four friends chimed in that they're also having allergies and they feel like they're trying to suppress coughs, especially when they're in public, you know, because people will kind of give them the death stare. If you cough in public, especially if you're not coughing into a tissue or something like that. So I think, again, what Augusta Health is suggesting is if you don't meet that criteria and you're not tested, to still stay home and follow prevention guidelines like using tissues, not sharing household items, you know, wiping down your counters, your doorknobs, you know, your bathrooms, and washing your hands as frequently as possible. And then if symptoms worsen, then they kind of want you to come back again and reevaluate, basically. But they're also saying once you're symptom free, and that's related specifically to a fever, for 72 hours, then you can kind of resume social contact. So the big thing with this, I guess, is just with the fever. You know, if you do have a fever, if you're coughing, if you think that you have some of the symptoms, you know, just stay home until you're well.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a great point, and it's an important point. A big reason that things are shut down right now, you know, locally, statewide, nationally, that we're doing this distancing, et cetera, is because we're trying to prevent our hospitals from getting overloaded. And it's an important thing because, you know, every hospital system, I mean, you know, Augusta Health locally, you know, when you start thinking about wherever you live locally, for us locally, Augusta County, Augusta Health, Over the Mountain in Charlottesville, UVA Medical Center, up the road from us a little bit in Rockingham County, Rockingham Memorial Hospital in Harrisonburg, you know, and every hospital in the country, it's got its limitations. You know, I said you can't have 6 billion tests for 6 billion people on the earth. You can't have a hospital bed for every person that lives in your area. It's just not possible. So you scale. And, you know, I'm reading the critics who are making the point that we're not equipped to deal with a pandemic. Well, no, we're not. Pandemics happen once. Honestly, the declaration of a defined pandemic, you know, it's the last one we had was in 2009 with the H1N1. But, you know, it didn't get to this level. Certainly none of us remember that it got to anywhere close to this level. I think arguably, I guess there was a pandemic that from reading in the histories in the late 60s, there was another H1N1 outbreak actually in the late 60s. But historically in the United States, we're trying to prevent the next Spanish flu, 1918, where several hundred thousand people died in a country that was a third the size it is now in terms of population. So, you know, if you extrapolate those numbers out, we could have lost. We would be losing 2 million people to the Spanish flu if that had happened today and the way that did back then. And so a big key to this is just simply not overloading the hospitals. And so I would joke and say this: if our friend Scott German, who does sports podcasting and sports writing with us on AFP, if he were listening right now, I'd say, Scott, you know, he's a hypochondriac. Don't go to your hospital. Of course, Scott is well versed with telemedicine, and I would suggest that too. If your health plan has a telemedicine option, in fact, ours does. Crystal signed us up for that a few weeks ago. Not in line with this, just because it's something neat to be able to use. Scott German uses his telemedicine all the time. If you feel like, hey, okay, I feel like I might have some symptoms here, instead of going to the hospital and overloading the hospital system, you know, either treat it yourself, stay home, or if you do tend to be a worrywart about these kind of things, maybe consult your telemedicine through your insurance and do whatever you can do. Now, obviously, if you're very sick, go to the hospital. But if you're not very sick, if you're just worried, you can actually make things worse for everyone if you go to the hospital with, you know, if you have a slight cough, you have a, you know, if you have maybe shortness of breath, maybe not, maybe you're making it worse because you're thinking about it so much. But yeah, the more we can do to stay away from hospitals, the more we can help this thing out.
Well, the other thing I was going to suggest too, and this again is just kind of from following social media in a big way, is a lot of people are calling, you know, the hospital and other doctor's offices and things of that nature to find out if they have the test available. And I can imagine that these doctor's offices and hospitals are very overwhelmed right now because, one, they're working with a shorter staff. You have to imagine that anybody who works at a hospital that might have a fever or any symptoms are staying home. And I imagine as a result that they probably are slightly short-staffed just as a result of these precautions these times. And as a result of that, the phone's ringing off the hook. It may or may not even be answered. I think the wise advice that I would give is if you're wondering if Augusta Health or whoever your healthcare provider is, if they have the test available, is maybe before you call, go to their social media page or go to their website, because a lot of these people are posting that information there so that it's readily available. The other thing that we encountered yesterday, and this was both through my mom and actually through you, you're someone who battles asthma just a little bit and you were looking to get an inhaler refilled, is that right now the doctor's offices, our doctor office in particular, is not taking you in, unless I guess probably like more of an emergency situation. And so when you need a refill of, let's say, an inhaler and you're up for your annual wellness exam, they're saying, you know, right now we're going to fill your prescriptions, just call them in. And, you know, we're going to wait to schedule the wellness exams. They don't want to probably bring healthy people into an environment where potentially there's people that could have coronavirus or something else. So at this stage of the game, I know you called yesterday and you're still waiting on your prescription to be filled. I'm guessing it could take a few days just because the doctor's offices are probably very overwhelmed. And my mother had the same encounter. She was due for a wellness exam, tried to schedule it. They said, we're not scheduling wellness exams right now. Sorry. If you need a refill, we can do that for you in the meantime. So just like everything else, you know, where you're facing decisions about, you know, whether you're closing or offering limited services, doctor's offices are doing the same.
Yeah. So, let's, you know, the more calm we are about this, the best we can be calm about this, the better, again, for the whole system. Let's just, the whole goal here is to not overwhelm the system. That's why we're doing what we're doing, to slow things down pace of life wise. Basically trying to do, you've heard the term flatten the curve. What the goal is here is just to, you know, if you presume that 80% of these cases are mild, and then the other 20% are more serious, and then there's a percentage of those that are going to need one hospitalization, and then two, a sliver of that is going to need intensive hospitalization, ICU level care. Instead of having everybody get sick at once, which is, you know, looking back at the Spanish flu, I've been doing more reading on the Spanish flu than I'd ever done in my life. I'd heard of it before, but in the last couple of weeks, obviously becoming more educated on it. What you're trying to avoid is just having so many people that need that critical level of care at one time that the system can't possibly process that. So, you know, among the goals, obviously, you know, at the macro level, producing more ventilators, it's easier said than done. But if hospital beds are being taken up and hospital time is being taken up with people who think they have coronavirus but don't, and then, you know, that's care that can't be given to someone who does. So,
Go ahead. Wrap up. Okay, no, just, so I was just going to move on to kind of shift gears a little bit if there's nothing else you want to add on that.
Sure. No, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So just shifting gears a little bit. Yesterday we talked about, and on AugustaFreePress.com, we featured a small business, the Greenleaf Grill, who, like all restaurants was facing a tough decision as to whether to stay open or whether to close his business. Many restaurants are choosing to do curbside service or, you know, pickup available, because most establishments have closed their dining rooms due to the governor's order of not having more than 10 people in your establishment at any given time. And so some restaurants are choosing to still have dining available by reservation or first come, first serve. But again, they're only able to serve 10 people at any given time, or maybe it's 10 people are allowed in the restaurant, including staff, which again, then limits that significantly. I'm not exactly sure the interpretation of that. I'm sure the restaurants do know. Some restaurants like Plaza Waynesboro is, you know, they're offering, their servers are actually coming out to your car, taking your orders and serving you in your car, which is a great kind of creative way during these times. And they posted a photo today of four or five cars parked in their parking lot, taking advantage of that particular service. I know as a whole, again, from monitoring social media, since that's kind of my role here, that people are trying to support small businesses, particularly restaurants during this time, by buying gift certificates or gift cards that they can use later, or, you know, or taking advantage of some of these pickup type opportunities that are out there. And then there's another segment of the population that, let's face it, we're hunkering down, you know, and maybe not going out quite as much. But as a whole, the community seems like they're really supporting small businesses. The Greenleaf Grill was one of those businesses where the owner, Chris Hollinger, decided to shut things down, knowing that that same day, the governor had announced that unemployment benefits would be immediately available to people who are laid off temporarily due to the coronavirus. And so in that regard, I think that's the decision that businesses have to make. Is there enough business to stay open, or would my employees be better off, you know, being able to collect unemployment? And then as a business owner, Chris stressed that that would kind of free up some money for when he does have to reopen his business. So I know restaurants in particular are facing some challenging times. There were a couple of things that came out yesterday, news stories that you published, Chris, related to help for small businesses. One from the Small Business Development Center, and the other was from the Community Foundation of the Central Blue Ridge. I'm hoping you can share that with our listeners.
Yeah, first on the Community Foundation, theirs is a simple one. Go to the website and you'll get some information if you're a local business. And the Community Foundation, for them local, I mean, and I've served on their board and continue to work with them in a budget advisory capacity. Their local is Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta, Highland, and then into Nelson County as well. So we serve sort of a wider region there. If you're a local business or nonprofit, basically at this stage, just trying to survey what your needs are. You know, I mentioned, I think yesterday, that of the Community Foundation's, I'm on their budget review team, and we're having, we were just wrapping up the first phase of grant allocation reviews for the 2021 fiscal year. And now we're reexamining that because obviously needs are going to be different. We don't know how long this is going to play out, but just presuming it will play out and have impact for a while. And so what the best thing we can do is get information. Right now, it's not about, you know, trying to give money and just throw money at things. It's trying to get information. How is this going to impact you as a business? How is this going to impact you as a nonprofit? And then, you know, gather that information quickly, and then priorities can be made from there. So the Community Foundation doing a couple of surveys, would love for your participation in that. And we have links to that on our website.
I was going to jump in and just say where you can find that on our website. If you go to AugustaFreePress.com, you can click on AFP coronavirus links in your kind of your right-hand column. If you're on a mobile phone, you'll find a couple of opportunities, but one is right there on that main page that you're linking to. If you click on that AFP coronavirus links, there's actually a header for the Community Foundation. There's two surveys. We mentioned the local business survey. There's also one for nonprofits in the community to see the impact. And then there's also a local response fund that we talked about yesterday, I believe, where a local Stanton couple have given $100,000 to start that. But you as an individual can also donate to that. And then this information that they're collecting on the surveys, as well as they're meeting with some high-level people in the communities to find out what the biggest needs are, they're using these funds to kind of meet the needs of the community. So it may not be something that's happening right away, but it's something where they're trying to gather more information, since we're really still in this breaking news, this breaking pandemic situation. So, and then I wanted you to also talk about, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to make sure people knew where to find those links on the website. You were also talking about the Small Business Development Center. They also had some information yesterday.
Yeah, certainly. This is specific to small businesses, but a small business development center, which is in Harrisonburg, and it's associated with, I mean, work with JMU up there in Harrisonburg, working actively, collaboratively with a number of organizations, Shenandoah Valley Partnership, all the local economic development offices in our region. And that region, I don't have the exact parameters of it, but I think it stretches down to Rockbridge in the south, over to Bath and Highland, certainly Waynesboro, Stanton, Augusta, Rockingham, Harrisonburg. I want to say also Shenandoah, maybe even up to the Winchester area. I think that's right. But the SBDC is working with the Small Business Administration at the federal level, the SBA. And Governor Northam is working as well to implement a declaration to provide assistance in the form of what are called Economic Injury Disaster Loans, EIDLs. And what that can do is just open up some opportunities for businesses, like we mentioned. Chris Hollinger is our example, because we spoke with him one-on-one, but other businesses that are being impacted by this. And you know, at the end of this process, whenever this end of this process is, hopefully in a few weeks, but you know, could be a couple months, obviously, or longer if, you know, worst case, right? That, you know, essentially, I heard President Trump say this, and you know, maybe politically I'm not on his side, but I thought he put this well. If a business was doing well as of last week, it should not have to shutter because of impact from this. And every effort should be made by the policymakers, federal level, state level, even local level, that businesses that were doing well should be allowed to continue when this comes to an end and we can go back to some sort of normalcy. At least the normalcy we knew before. So the SBDC, Small Business Development Center, is working. They have business advisors who've received training directly from the SBA to help business owners. They'll help you with required documentation, with your applications. You know, anybody who goes through an application process like this, it's not an easy process necessarily. There's a lot of paperwork, just so that, you know, obviously you can be checked out, vetted, and that kind of thing. But the advisors have been trained to help you through that process. The SBDC has them. So that's a very helpful thing. It's a daunting process, but if you have people to help you out, the Small Business Development Center will help you out. There's information on our website about how to get in touch. We have a link, we have an email address, a phone number. So if you're a small business owner listening to this, either live certainly or on the podcast archive version, we encourage you to seek out that help, because it's there. And if your business was doing well, the goal is we all want to help those businesses continue to do well when this is over.
Right, and I think that the Small Business Development Center is a great starting point for businesses, because there's other assistance available other than these loans as well. And so I think what they're saying is basically email us, let's start a conversation. We can meet with you by phone or video conference if you have that available, and we'll go from there. I also want to mention too, and we've shared some of this information on our Facebook page, as well as I'm sure that you've written stories, but there are also some local supports that are trying to step up as well. I know the Stanton Downtown Development Association, which is very active in the Stanton, Virginia community, is already asking business owners to let them know how they can help. And so I know that they're stepping up to say they might be able to provide some assistance. Yesterday, they published a list of downtown Stanton businesses, or I think Stanton businesses in general, and they're trying to share, you know, what their updated hours are, what their services that they're offering are, as a public service to the community. So while we have links on Augusta Free Press to business closures and things of that nature, if you're specifically looking to support Stanton businesses, a good starting point might be that Stanton Downtown Development Association website. And they have kind of the list of businesses, and they're updating that as often as they can from what they said. Waynesboro also has a program, and I think it's called Grow or something of that nature for businesses, primarily in the downtown area. But I know that there's some talk about making those funds available to businesses that are struggling as a result of this as well. So I would say in that particular case to probably contact the Economic Development Office or contact Mayor Terry Short, who does have a Facebook page. So that would be a great place to start that conversation about what processes are happening there as well. But I think the good news in all of this is that it seems like there are going to be supports for these businesses, because even if you're a restaurant and you're offering curbside or pickup, I'm sure that most people who work for you, their hours have been significantly reduced And it does sound like there's support there. Just one last mention related to businesses is, too, that we have a link on our website under that AFP coronavirus links if you need to file for unemployment because you have been laid off. And it also says if your hours have been significantly reduced that you can apply for unemployment. And there is a link to do that on our website through the Virginia Employment Commission. So definitely do that because from what the governor said yesterday, those funds will not be held up. They're going to be immediately available to people who have lost their job as a result of this. And again, in most cases, these are temporary things that, you know, once these businesses reopen, most of these people's jobs should return.
Breaking news. My window here opens up to the road, and there was a lady just walked by. She walked by with a little miniature poodle. And miniature poodle looked cute. He's got black hair and curly hair, and it was really cute to see. I'm sharing those kind of things because it was a cute little miniature poodle, and we need to think of cute little miniature poodles sometimes in this.
Well, we need to lighten the load. Yeah, we need to lighten the load a little bit. Today's supposed to be in the 70s here in our part of Virginia, and I think that's one of the great things is that we can get outdoors a little bit. I mean, they're still recommending whether you go hiking or whether you're in your yard doing yard work that you try to maintain that 6 foot distance from other people. But that being said, getting outside and breathing in fresh air, being able to open our windows today, I think goes a long way to us all feeling a little healthier.
Yeah. And I'll say we're getting close to the half hour. We were going to try to limit this to a half hour. And I think we might have had another topic or two, but it just comes to mind. I thought I'd say this for our listeners out there. At 11:30 Eastern time today, so about an hour from now, I'll be jumping on a conference call with Augusta Health to get the latest from Augusta Health, and we'll be able to, other media members joining in as well. We'll be able to ask some questions of the folks there. You know, it'll be the first opportunity for me. Last week, I was traveling on they're doing these every Thursday. Last week, I was traveling actually back from Greensboro, back when the world was a different place and we were thinking about basketball. But opportunity to kind of ask what the local situation is, local preparations, what they're seeing on the front lines, so to speak. We're still at a stage now, as of 10:30, or I guess it's 10:27, as I'm talking this second, we still don't have a confirmed case in the Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta County area. In fact, and as of right now, as far as we know, at least, just one confirmed case in Harrisonburg, which is the next county north of us, and then one confirmed case over in Charlottesville, which is the next, essentially the next county over, Albemarle County, Charlottesville area. East of us. So no cases that I am aware of in Rockbridge, Lexington, which is the next county south of us, and then nothing to the west of us, Bath or Highland. And so we're in a little weird bubble for now in terms of confirmed cases or lack thereof. And but yeah, we'll get the latest from Augusta Health and just kind of find out what they're seeing and hearing.
Well, and I think the other thing, just to caution people, because, you know, a family member of mine reached out to me and, you know, they're very concerned. They're going to the grocery store today with their mask and gloves on and everything. And being cautious, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But I just want to remind people that, of course, now that we're testing regularly, there's a lot more tests happening. The numbers related to coronavirus in the United States and in Virginia are going to go up. You know, when the numbers were very, very low, it's because there were very few tests available, if any, in the United States, because we weren't really under this outbreak, this pandemic. Now that the tests are coming into our regions, even though people are being screened, numbers are going to go up. That's natural. So we just want to remind people that not to panic because you see the numbers going up. That's going to happen as a result of the testing and that kind of thing. Just stay as calm as possible. You know, the hope is that most people who are getting coronavirus are taking good care of themselves, you know, and recovering as a result, because some of these trackers that we have links to on our website, AugustaFreePress.com, you know, are very, they also have a recovery kind of area there too. And so, and Chris, you've done lots of research on this, and I know you've written a ton about it on Augusta Free Press, so that's probably the best place to point people to go to discuss this further. But just stay calm. In most cases, you know, even if you do get coronavirus, you do survive. There are exceptions to that, especially people who have underlying medical conditions or senior citizens. But for the most part, people are surviving this.
Yeah. When I said this on a podcast recently, I'm not sure if it was yesterday or Tuesday, but to reinforce it, and it's worth repeating, because I think if you didn't hear it, you need to hear it. Because we haven't done the extensive testing that other countries have, We're the numbers. In fact, they're going up slowly today. And I say this: there are 9,464 confirmed cases as of this moment, 10:30 Eastern time on Thursday. 155 deaths. But you know, when I ran the numbers based on South Korea's number, South Korea is a lot of folks think at the forefront of this in terms of their testing regime. They're doing, I wouldn't say random testing, but they are more aggressively testing people. Like we talked earlier in this podcast, Crystal, and for our listeners, we talked about how, you know, our local hospital, Augusta Health, is being stingy out of necessity in giving out tests. I mean, they'll screen you like crazy before they'll test you because the number of tests is still limited right now. South Koreans are being more expansive with that. And as a result, you'll see more numbers of people confirmed to have the coronavirus there, but also a much lower death rate in South Korea. And if we ran the numbers that I ran, I figured that if we had the similar kind of testing regime in place as South Korea does, we may have as many as 110,000 people right this second in our country confirmed with coronavirus. Now, 110,000, you're like, oh my God, right now the number on the Infection 2020 website is 9,400. You're saying there's 11 times, 12 times more than that. And I'm saying it very well could be. But that said, to reinforce, 80% or more of these cases in that range, 80% are considered mild cases. And that doesn't mean that the other 20% aren't serious. They are. That would, if those numbers played out, we could have 20,000 sort of serious cases. And what we're trying to do is not overwhelm our hospitals. So,
right. And what I would say is, let's not use the word stingy to say related to the testing, but let's say perhaps they're just being very careful. And this isn't just Augusta Health. This is all the hospitals and doctor's office that do have tests. They're being very careful. They're doing that for screening. And it is because, unfortunately, the tests are limited throughout the United States. So it is wise to perhaps screen those who are most probable to have the virus, and you know, who have those factors playing into it, where they might have it. In most cases, like again, if you or I walked in there to get screened, they're going to tell, you know, we're in that demographic that are pretty healthy. We're in our 40s. We're probably not the high risk population. But if I walked in there and with my mother, who's in her 60s, you know, that would be a different ballgame. You know, she's 60 and a smoker. And so she's probably got very high risk. So I do understand the fact that at least while tests are limited, like you said, that they're not expansive, that we're using these tests on people who are at the highest risk factor, especially for death. I mean, Stanton City Councilman Eric Curran, there's reports that his father, who lives in Florida, actually died from the coronavirus. But he was in the 70s again. So, you know, these are the people that you know, should have a little bit more concern for with this outbreak. So I think that the hospitals are doing their best with the resources that they have, and props to them. So it sounds like, Chris, that you're going to have more information from Augusta Health later today. Yes. I encourage everyone to go to AugustaFreePress.com to read the multiple stories. We didn't get to touch on a lot of items that are happening in our community right now. So definitely go there, catch up on the latest news and information, or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/AugustaFreePress.
And that's probably a good place for us to wrap up. We will have more news, obviously, throughout the day. There's so much happening, breaking on this topic. So we will have some more for you later in the day. I've got another podcast coming up at 2:00. It'll be a sports-themed podcast with Jerry Carter. We'll talk some sports. And so I want to thank you for joining us here on this one. And we will talk to you again soon.